Now, we all use software for sending emails, writing documents, making spreadsheets. But what about software that allows you to share ideas with your colleagues on the go and whenever they strike you? Well, that's what IdeaDrop does. The product comes from entrepreneur duo Owen Hunnam and Charlie DeRusset, who first developed the idea in 2014 and have just secured £1 million worth of investment. And they came into the studio to talk to us about it.
IdeaDrop's a tool that makes it really easy to capture, curate and implement the best ideas from your people. So it's a technology platform that runs across web and native iOS and Android mobile apps. And we target primarily global corporations that have large workforces.
And what does all of that mean? What does if I bought your product, what would I have?
So what you have is a cloud-based platform. So it's a kind of like an internal social network, if you like, but it's primarily only internal. And we make it very easy to gather ideas and for ideas to be collaborated on and ultimately enriched by the crowd so that they can be implemented faster than they would be through conventional means.
So it's a piece of software where anybody in the company, doesn't matter who they are, what job they do or where they are in the company, it's a platform where anybody can put ideas forward and they're shared with everyone else in the company.
Exactly. So we're kind of breaking down barriers really in terms of traditional kind of what we call ideation technologies or processes, make it kind of sometimes quite cumbersome and difficult to gather ideas from your colleagues. And there's usually kind of a top-down innovation structure where the people who are highest paid and highest up in an organization typically are the ones that have all the best ideas and actually get those ideas broadcast and actioned and implemented. And what we're trying to do is break down those barriers through technology and make it possible for anyone, regardless of where they sit within an organization, to have an opportunity to have their voice heard and have those ideas seen by senior management that wouldn't be possible otherwise.
Is it anonymous?
It can be. It can be anonymous. So one of the most popular elements to the product is cloaking. So when you share an idea, that's one of the things that prevents people sharing ideas typically is that there's that fear and kind of intimidation of the worry about being immediately judged, not based on their idea, but based on who they are. So within IdeaDrop, you can hit a cloak button, hide your identity. And then if that idea starts to gather traction and engagement and interaction, you can then hit an uncloak button later on and go, hey, actually, that was me that had that idea.
Sometimes employees, especially if you're lower down in the company, you might be too afraid of suggesting an idea because you might think it's stupid. So, yeah, if you put it forward anonymously and then someone, the CEO, says, hey, this is great, then it's great to then reclaim it as yours, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's particularly good for kind of rank-based organisations. So we have a number of clients in the UK police sector, and that's particularly prevalent where if you're low down in a rank and a rank and file officer, you won't necessarily feel it's your place to share what could potentially be a brilliant game-changing idea. But when the technology is embedded, what we see is that those barriers are broken down and it becomes much easier for people to have the freedom and the feeling that they're able to share ideas.
Can you tell us a bit about your background? What were you doing before you set up the company?
Owen and I have known each other since we were 11 years old. We were the kids that sold everything and anything at school. We both went our separate ways after school, but came back together to grow a publishing company. It was called Vine Publishing, and it was a good learning ground for us. We made quite a few failures on the way, but from that, we discovered that we were really interested in a product-based company, a digital product company. So we grew Vine out to about a team of 25 people, and the sales team used to come back to us and say, hey guys, marketing managers and directors aren't spending as much money on print advertising anymore. So Owen and I started to reinvest the balance sheet from the business into digital marketing skills, and an agency, a creative agency called Yellow Bull was born. When we did that, we started to see that we were making money much more easily through those digital tools than our print-based publication. So we sold that in 2013 to Local World Media and focused on our agency. When we did this, we had always had the ambition to like foster an entrepreneurial culture within the business. And we had started to become concerned that we weren't as good at listening to our own people's ideas as we were when it was five, six, seven of us around one table. So we were fortunate enough to have our own development team, and we gave them a little project, which was just build us something that very simply captures ideas and keeps it as a digital asset for us to review. We did this, and after about a month of running it, Owen and I reviewed it, and there were a couple of really impactful ideas. And interestingly, they were from people we weren't necessarily expecting them to come from. And I think that's probably when the penny dropped, was it, that we had a solution that actually transcended organisational size, sector, location. We were in a position to start thinking about it as a product that stood alone outside of the agency.
Has anybody come to you, or has anybody said to you since you've launched the company, wow, what a fantastic idea, why hasn't anybody thought of that before?
Yeah, so it's something that's come up quite a few times, and I think that that's one of the reasons why we decided to spin IdeaDrop out as a separate technology business and product, was that when we assessed the market and we naturally wanted to find a off-the-shelf solution to stitch into our existing technology stack internally within our agency, as Charlie was mentioning. So it would be much easier for us to take something off the shelf. But in reality, when we looked at the market, as you say, Sarah, there wasn't anything that kind of immediately met our needs. So that's why we developed something from scratch, from the ground up.
And you both have quite a history of entrepreneurship, don't you? Which I understand started at school, so you're used to coming up with ideas and making money from them. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Charlie and I met when we were at school, and within kind of a year or so, we kind of launched our own business. Our school didn't have a tuck shop, so we had a Booker card, and they were able to get access to some cash and carry prices. So kind of spotted that opportunity, came in kind of loaded with sports bags, packed full of kind of every sweet and chocolate bar under the sun, and then that turned into quite a nice addition to our pocket money. And then that unfortunately got shut down about 18 months on by the headmaster, kind of marched the headmaster's office, which wasn't ideal. But we were kind of like, you should be encouraging entrepreneurship, what's going on? So that was the kind of the first foray into the concept of what it felt like to make our own money and kind of build something from nothing. And then bizarrely, we also then moved into the mobile disco space, which is something we always look back on and laugh about, but actually turned into quite a profitable business. We kind of made a couple of grand a month from that. So that kind of led to us kind of realising that we worked quite well together, and then everything's sort of come from there, really.
So transitioning from running the school tuck shop to running IdeaDrop, which has attracted, I think, £1 million worth of investment. How easy is it, or perhaps it's not easy at all, to turn those ideas into a business, into a money-making business?
I think that usually we start around a pint and a pack of crisps and have lots and lots and lots of ideas that get thrown in the bin. Usually we kind of latch onto something if we see a market that's got a similar synergy to the one that we're already in. So moving from publishing into creative agency world was relatively easy. The buyers were the same, and the concept of cutting through the noise to grab people's attention was the same as well. And then I think that when we were a digital agency, we started to learn more and more about technology and the impact that had on not only us but our customers, who were doing quite a lot of consultancy work around tech stacks and what good pieces of software you should have in them. And I think probably around then we started to actually say, hang on a second, scaling businesses based on time and lots of employees is quite a lot of hard work, and we're doing the same projects but with different nuances to them each time, and so it's not quite a product, it's always a new push and different challenges. And I think we basically wanted to find what we call a cookie cutter style product, that if we built it really well, that lots of people would want to buy it. Once you've built the machine, then it will just keep on churning out cookies that people will buy. So with IdeaDrop, because it's a user per month licensing model, once we've built the tool, as long as it's giving the value that we believe it does to an organisation, then they keep on signing up month by month without it being a new project or anything like that.
I'm sure, as with any business success story, it's not been completely smooth sailing the entire way. What are some of the risks involved in setting up your own business?
I think the first one is definitely kind of the ability to persevere. And I think that's where when we meet a lot of other kind of entrepreneurs and people in business, the ones that we see are most successful are the ones that have had this kind of unrelenting ability to just focus on something and continue at it until it becomes a success. And I think that that's really where we've focused a lot, is on trying to actually say, yes, we could do kind of 10 other things, but right now we're committed to this particular project and we need to focus on it. And by doing that, you see results. So perseverance is a challenge. Fundraising, that's probably one of the biggest challenges that we've certainly faced. I think that it's kind of a necessary evil for most startups. And I don't think you'll meet many startup founders that will say that they enjoy fundraising or the fundraising process. There's lots of dead ends. It's very time consuming. It's quite demotivating at times. But then ultimately, when you nail it and you get it right, it gives you the power to scale and grow in ways that you wouldn't be able to otherwise. So there's some of the challenges there.
You clearly both believe in your product. Were there any times where you thought, I know we've got a great product here, but were you getting lots of knockbacks? And was there any point where you thought, when is this going to happen? When is this going to work?
Even now, we're constantly worrying about the product. Is there the right market fit? Are we accelerating on our roadmap at the right pace? Are we listening to our customers? Are we doing our user acceptance testing as best we can? And I think that if you love your product, then you'll never stop worrying about it like it's a baby in that sense. And ultimately, if we create that culture and we continue to create that culture, then we know that our customers are always going to have the best product in the market.
I think as well, because we kind of adopt an agile approach, not just to our software development kind of methodology, but kind of the way that we approach business, we're able to kind of iterate the way that we work. So if we haven't got it quite right now, then we're able to kind of improve it, iterate it, get more feedback, adjust it, change it, and try and get that deeper and deeper product market fit so that we get more and more yeses, more and more excitement around the product over time. And that's one of the benefits of working in an agile way, we found.
Well, that was Owen Hunnam there of Idea Drop with Share Radio's Sarah Maycham and his business partner Charlie DeRusset talking about their new idea sharing software. We'll be hearing more from them after the break, so stay with us. Well, I'm Glenn Goodman in for Georgie Frost, and you're listening to Share Radio Morning, making that pound in your pocket go a little bit further. This is the Entrepreneur Show, where we talk all things entrepreneurship. It's not much of a surprise, really, is it? That's why we call it the Entrepreneur Show. Before the break, we were hearing from Owen Hunnam and Charlie DeRusset, creators of the idea-sharing platform Idea Drop. They joined Share Radio's Sarah Maycham in the studio.
You've recently secured £1 million of investment that we mentioned just then. How did that happen? Where did that come from? Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Sure. So kind of our investment journey really started when we founded the company back in March 14, we took some initial seed investment. Later on in October that year, we took a second seed round. And then kind of most of that, we did another kind of third initial seed funding round slightly after that. And then what we realised is that we spent most of that investment on building out the product and, as Charlie mentioned, trying to find that product market fit. And we realised actually we were in a position to take the product to market more aggressively, accelerate the execution of our ambitious product roadmap, and do that globally on a faster and bigger scale. But we realised in order to do that, we needed some fairly significant investment, explored a whole range of different routes in how we could go about doing that. We explored the VC route, we explored corporate financiers.
What's the VC route?
Venture capitalists. So we met some of London's sort of biggest VCs, and that was a real learning experience in terms of what they look for in early technology companies when they invest. But ultimately decided to harness our own kind of internal and extended networks of contacts to run effectively a crowdfunding round on a self-managed basis. So we did explore looking at some of the best platforms to do that, but ultimately decided to do it ourselves. And as we mentioned earlier, it was quite exhausting, time-consuming, but we got to the outcome in the end, and that funding round closed in September 2016.
And who are your clients?
They are everyone from 300-person oil management consultants all the way through to government organisations like police forces. I think that one of the things that we realised early on was that actually you need to innovate as an organisation in order to survive, let alone thrive. And some good examples of that are companies like Blockbuster, who didn't see everything going online as quickly as they should. Another good example of it is Kodak as well. Kodak failed to see how quickly the market was moving into digital cameras and phone cameras. And as a result of that, they went under. And I think another good example, probably final one, which everyone will know, is Nokia 2. Nokia went from in everyone's hands to in nobody's hands in such a short period of time. And so we believe that every organisation, not-for-profit, education, obviously commercial, they all need to have ideas constantly in order to keep on improving for their stakeholders.
Are they all large organisations? Is Idea Drop still relevant for a company which employs five people, for example?
Yeah, definitely. So that's one of the great things about Idea Drop is its range of use cases is very varied, so it can deliver equal value for an organisation of 10 right through to an organisation of 140,000 colleagues like Lear Corporation, for example, one of our clients on the Fortune 500 based in the US. So what we do find, however, is that because IdeaDrop relies on the power of knowledge sharing and the excitement around that and the value that that can give, the more users that join a community, the more value is delivered and extracted from the platform for everyone. So it tends to work better at a critical point of kind of 300 to 400 users, but equally there's value at a much lower level as well.
One of the things that we aimed to do was to give everyone access to the platform with no traction. So you can go to our website and sign up for free and have a 30-day trial. And that's unique to our piece of software. Most of our competition, you have to call up, get a demo, have to go through quite a lengthy sales process to actually even see the product. And we wanted to just make it open to everyone straight away.
With your clients, you've mentioned some police forces are using Idea Drop and then Fortune 500 companies. Was there any point where you thought, where you had new business from a company and you thought, yes, I think we've made it now?
I think that when we first sort of closed our initial deal with Kent Police, that was probably a real turning point for us because public sector procurement traditionally is very challenging for startup organisations. There's lots and lots of hoops to jump through. So to kind of get to that end point where we'd made it through procurement, we'd been accepted, we'd closed the deal, and we'd also jumped through the IT hoops of actually getting it implemented on their IT systems as well, that was a point where we went, actually, this is a scalable business and a scalable product. And it was even more exciting when we then saw the results and the value that came off the back of that, you know, 2-3 months after we'd implemented the platform across the police force.
And adding to that, I think that since then we've seen other police forces sign up as a result of them signing up, so we can now see a vertical merging in policing. We've done things like sign multi-year contracts with clients as well, so rather than them signing up on a month-by-month basis, they've asked us, what can you do for us over 5 years? Which obviously massively secures our self as a business, knowing that that revenue is going to come in for the next 5 years.
I would imagine as well, the police is quite an interesting case because there are so many different roles within that organisation, aren't there? There are so many different ages of employees and obviously they're all over the country as well. So a very, very diverse workforce. So that must be quite interesting to get their feedback.
It is, definitely. And I think that, you know, policing, much like a number of other public sector organisations, they have a lot of technical debt. They have a lot of legacy systems that have been kind of built and patched together over a number of years. And so where we win really is by focusing very much on our user interface and our user experience, making it a real pleasure and a delight to use and very, very easy to engage with. And that's why we see sort of very low training costs, very sort of fast onboarding times. And that means that we can kind of penetrate a whole organization really quickly because actually we try and take away all the barriers and all the friction to engaging with the ideation process as much as we can. But you're right, you know, it's really exciting because when we deploy it, we get all areas of the organization engaging kind of very, very quickly, which is really exciting.
What we love about IdeaDrop actually is, especially at Kent Police, was the fact that most police officers, like a lot of other industries, don't actually have access to desktop computers. They do now have mobile phones, smartphones issued to them. And so we were able to put Ideadrop on their police officer's smartphone so that when they're out on the beat, they're able to capture ideas then and there. And so that was really interesting to see when we first went on desktop with them and saturated everyone using Ideadrop on their desktop. 6 months later, then going and giving it to police officers and getting a second surge where they're now able to engage with their desktop-based colleagues. That's really good.
What about success stories? Have any companies come to you and said, this idea has come to fruition because of a temp worker we had who put this idea into Ideadrop and now it's saving us X millions of pounds a year? Do you get those kind of stories from people, that kind of feedback?
All the time.
Yeah, definitely, and it's those kind of those stories that we kind of really try to extract from our client base, because it kind of helps us feed into our marketing, and it helps us kind of resell the license at the end of that point as well, because we're the better that we can measure the return on investment when we're as a result of using the platform and the product, the better it is for them and for us. So definitely,
some quite cool ideas that we've heard recently are. A police force in the UK was using BMWs for TPAC crashes. So when they take a car off the road in a pursuit, they were using a BMW 5 Series. They also have Skodas in their fleet, and the BMW panels are twice the price. So a lower-ranking officer pointed this out, and the chief constable saw it, and I think that saved them £140,000 in 1 year. So they come in all the time. Another consultancy business recognised that it was a part of proposal writing that was taking around 2 hours longer than it needed to. And they had 14 proposal writers doing 3 proposals a day. So it was a huge cost saving of time there. So it's wide and varied. Typically, people use the platform to innovate their product ranges, innovate their business processes, or innovate their business models. And that's typically where we capture ideas for organisations.
So it's a bit like, it's a constant brainstorming app, isn't it, in a way that many companies, you would typically go on an away day once or twice a year where you have these brainstorming sessions. And then Ideadrop is just that process happening all the time for everybody.
Exactly right. And I think that, you know, when we speak to teams and we speak to colleagues and people, they tell us that actually structured brainstorming sessions that are, you know, in the diary and you're going to come to this meeting and we're going to have ideas.
A bit forced.
That's actually very forced and actually quite daunting process. So what Ideadrop enables organisations to do is set operational or strategic challenges, kind of cascade those down digitally in the organisation using the technology. And then they can gather ideas around a particular problem or a range of problems ahead of a meeting, so that you can use that really expensive or valuable meeting time to actually collaborate on those ideas, discuss them, work out implementation plans for those, rather than the actual the having of ideas, which can actually be quite a challenge in that forced setting.
What's your goal and what's next for the company?
So I think we've got kind of quite a clear sort of 5-year plan, really, and we're quite open about the fact that we have an exit strategy for the business. We've got lots of plans in our product roadmap of ways that we can kind of make it easier for everyone to share ideas and collaborate on ideas and the impact that can have. But ultimately, we want to deliver on our mission, which is to make ideas more open, transparent and collaborative.
Owen Hunnam and Charlie de Russet, co-founders of Ideadrop, thank you very much indeed for coming in to see us at Share Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.